Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Joshua Washington, the executive director at the IBSI, the Institute for Black Solidarity with Israel, all the way from the United States of America. Joshua, what a pleasure to have you with us again on Chai FM.
Hey, thanks again for having me. It's great to be back.
Joshua, I'm going to be completely and utterly inappropriate, but I'm going to tell you something personal right now. That I probably shouldn't do on air, but what the hell. I follow you on Facebook, and I see the pride that you have in your two little boys. And what I wanted to tell you is that it is infectious. I think your love for them just radiates over the social network platform, and you can feel it so incredibly strongly. I reckon you're probably one of the best fathers on the planet, and I don't know why, but I felt the need to tell you that.
Thank you. We have to speak out. We got to tell the truth.
I want to talk to you today about Black Lives Matter, where the Jewish community stands vis-a-vis Black Lives Matter, because the irony is that most of Jews in America, I think, are very much Democratic Party supporters, come on the liberal side of things, and yet they are being forced, so it seems, to take what are perceived as quite reactionary positions given current political movements. Mm-hmm. How on earth do liberally minded Jews align with Black Lives Matter without having to give up what is important to them?
So my answer to that, and it's been my answer since probably around the beginning of Black Lives Matter, which is that it's not really possible to right now, because Black Lives Matter has so aligned itself, has so attached itself with being anti-Zionist, with being anti-Israel, the whole lie that Israel's an apartheid state, the boycott, divestment, and sanctions. I mean, there are whole organizations set up to fight BDS, but in reality, BLM, Black Lives Matter, has pushed forward BDS's agenda in ways that I don't think anyone could have ever done. It's become such a mainstream thing now. And in the beginning, we said, there's really, first of all, there are many other ways to support the Black community. But then secondly, on another level, Black Lives Matter, even the position that they take, the positions that they take don't even reflect the majority of the Black community. The biggest one being the Defund the Police campaign that happened last year. 81%, a poll was taken. 81% of Black people do not want the police defunded. They actually either want more police or they want the same police presence in their areas, because many of them will tell you, especially in the rougher areas of this country, different cities, that even if they do have personal problems with the police, they'll tell you that less police means there's going to be more crime. And they don't want to deal with more crime in their areas. In spite of all this, Black Lives Matter has decided to take on this Defund the Police campaign, which has, like I said, which doesn't reflect us. And so the fallacy has been for quite some time now that Black Lives Matter is the only way to support, or one of the only main ways to support us. And if you don't support BLM, you don't support Black people, but that's just not true.
So I want you to concentrate on that just for a moment or two. You mentioned a few times now there are other ways to support the Black community. Like how?
Absolutely. So there's a few different organizations. So first of all, there's an organization called the Robert Woodson Center. And Robert Woodson is a man who, he's an older man now. He's had this center for decades across the country, and it focuses mainly on, helping to, violence prevention, gang prevention, things like that, getting young men and women off the streets, giving them skills that they need, plugging them into society so that they can be functioning members. This man has been doing this for a long, long time. He doesn't really get a lot of, notoriety for it, but his organization has grown, like I said, into many cities across this country, from here in North Carolina to Chicago. I think even in parts of the West Coast as well. So that's one. And then the other thing is, there's on a local level, different cities have different needs. And so, there are churches all over this city, all over this country, Black churches where pastors are working very hard to meet the needs, the specific needs of their communities. And there are ways to get involved on a level that's very personal and very, that fits the needs of the community that, you know, it won't be out marching on the streets with Black Lives Matter, but it actually does give the community what the vast majority of the community says that they need, whether that's better quality education, whether that's access to education, or like I said, gang prevention, or, you know, things for more recreational activities for kids to do, or programs for adults, whatever the case may be. You know, there are ways all over the place to help. You know,
just going back to Black Lives Matter, because it absolutely fascinates me as an organization. Do you think perhaps it was a creation of a particular time and circumstance, and maybe it's taken a very extreme position initially, because that seems to be the genesis of organizations? And do you think that there is room for, or the possibility that it may come back somewhat towards a more centrist kind of approach? Are they having the discussions or the debates?
Sure, sure. So I think that in terms of, you know, there are different, when we're talking about the Black Lives Matter organization, because I recognize that there are some leaders there are some Black Lives Matter chapter leaders who aren't really aware of this anti-Israel stance and who have a more, I would say, pure agenda. Sorry, that's my son in the background. And, you know, they aren't even aware of the Black Lives Matter's positions on global things. You know, they're really focused on whatever's going on in their communities, which is awesome. But in terms of the organization, I don't think that there is a way that it can get back to not hating on Israel, because it's connected to all these other ideologies. You know, it's a justice issue, and it's something that goes all the way back to the 1960s when Yasser Arafat very aggressively and very, very cunningly reached out to the Black civil rights leaders, attempted to depict himself as more of a freedom fighter than a tyrant, and was able to make inroads in some of the radical parts of the civil rights era. You know, the Black Panthers and you know, people like Stokely Carmichael and Eldridge Cleaver and Angela Davis. You know, he was successful in making himself seem like a freedom fighter, and that has been reverberating for decades. And so, unfortunately, any justice organization that's not aware of that history is really doomed to adopt the same tactics, you know, of being anti-Israel.
You know, it's just so interesting, because talking to you as a South African, having seen our president's response to Israel being granted observer status at the African Union, the absolute synchronicity between the PLO and what was the ANC is just unbreakable. There's nothing anybody could do to change that. And what I'm hearing you saying is it's the same dynamic at play within Black Lives Matter, at least currently. And at least our eyes are opened, and we know what we are dealing with. Joshua Washington, we're going to leave it there. Thank you for talking to us this afternoon. It's ironic that I started by saying what a great dad you were, and there was your kid with you the whole entire time. Put a smile on my face. Thank you so much for chatting to us this afternoon.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you for having me back again.